episode 30.
Welcome to Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets, the show that offers you insight, tips, tricks, and shortcuts to superior hockey play.
Well, this is a little bit of a sad show. It's kind of a sad feeling for me. After 18 years in this old building, they're going to be turning it into apartments pretty shortly. And actually, I've had a couple of months to arrange new quarters, and I have to be out in a few days. If there's a little bit of funny sound to this recording, it's because the studio, except for the recording equipment, is pretty much gone, so there might be kind of that echo that you get in an empty room. Most of the stuff has already been set up over at the new place, so this will be the last broadcast from 7 Marble Street in Whitman, Mass. And the next one, or actually the remainder of this broadcast, will be coming when I reset up this equipment in the new studio just a couple of blocks away. But that's 609 Washington Street in really downtown Whitman. Well, that's about it. I didn't get a shock from getting the microphone wet from my tears or anything, but it is kind of sad leaving this old place. The building has a lot of character, and you get comfortable over 18 long years. But all things must change, and when the good Lord closes one door, he opens another. So that's the way I'll look at it. All right, I'll see you when the move is complete. Well, I've made the switch, and I'm sitting here in my new studio. Actually, I'm pretty comfortable here, because the setup is fairly close to the way it was over on Marble Street, maybe even a little better. Then, just to remind my listeners about the slightly different format for this radio show, there's a fast-growing collection of hockey advice over on the CoachChick.com website. Of course, it's mostly in written or video form, which requires a visitor to be by his or her PC. So, this show allows members to take some of the most recent topics with them in MP3 format. And it also gives non-members a chance to get a taste of what's available on the main site. Anyway, I've delayed long enough. I think I'm set. I brought this last soda over from the old office. So, let's get on with the show. In our strength training for hockey section, I provided some basics for off-season lifting. I quoted an expert in that piece too, in that light strength training can be good for young athletes. As a matter of fact, and these are the expert's words, although there has been a long-standing myth that strength training can harm children's musculoskeletal system and hinder bone development, the truth is exactly the opposite. Progressive resistance exercise enhances a child's musculoskeletal system and facilitates bone development. Now, a good starting place for any youngster is in the ability to deal with his or her own body weight. Actually, no special equipment is needed to perform the likes of push-ups, sit-ups, dips, and pull-ups. And when it comes to those types of exercises, I'll suggest that perfect form is far more important than the number of repetitions. In other words, I'd rather see a youngster execute one perfect push-up rather than a batch of those snaky kind of things that do little towards his or her strength gains. master one perfect movement with total body control, and then slowly build to 2 reps, 3 reps, 4, and so forth. Again, perfect form and body control should be the main aim. Those who have real difficulty in handling their own body weight, however, could benefit by using machines. For example, a youngster might struggle with having to move his or her upper body through a perfect push-up motion. But with a machine, a very light weight could be moved in the beginning, with resistance very gradually increased as the youngster gains strength. Most strength coaches, and especially those working with athletes, very frequently recommend so-called free weights over machines. Free weights, like dumbbells or barbells, force a lifter to sort of wrestle with that weight through the movement. And this comes closer to the way an athlete has to deal with resistance in a sport like ours. Machines, on the other hand, can only travel through a specific movement path. If there's a plus for machines, it's that they tend to be safer than free weights. So, to remove some of the dangers in using free weights, most serious lifters use a safety rack. Now, I can't go into great detail here, but over on the CoachChick.com site, I did provide some ideas and some photos for a homemade type rack. In conjunction with what the real strength expert, Scott Umberger, mentioned in an earlier entry, basic movements are the way to go for off-season training. With new lifters, I usually suggest working the major muscle groups. And while we can expect Scott to provide far more details in this area, I'm basically pointing towards squats, shoulder presses, bench presses, curls, and calf raises, along with the aforementioned dips and pull-ups. Then, through the years, I've heard a number of recommendations when it comes to determining the repetitions and sets that should be done in a given movement. Still, most of them are fairly similar. Usually, the first step is to test oneself for a single maximum lift in a given exercise. Once arrived at, the lifter should be able to perform in the neighborhood of 4 repetitions at 80% of that maximum weight. Typically, lifters perform 3 sets of an exercise. So with each training session, the lifter should attempt to increase the number of reps until he or she reaches 10. Once that's accomplished, the process starts all over again, beginning with new testing, starting with 80% of the new max, and then working towards moving that new weight for 3 sets of 10 reps. Again, this method isn't carved in stone, but it should prove helpful to those just starting out. Todd Jacobson shared some awesome off-season ideas for goaltenders this month. Perhaps the most interesting point was his suggestion for using a mirror for instant feedback on a goaltender's stance as well as his or her movements from posture to posture. Todd also had a great idea for improving hand-eye coordination by juggling during the off-season. Actually, our team NEHI goaltenders continue juggling through the winter, and they use it as part of their pregame preparations. Here are a few more tips when it comes to lifting. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, progressive resistance exercise. In effect, it suggests that one will only get so strong by working against a set amount of resistance. On the other hand, real strength gains come as a lifter is able to gradually increase the amount of weight he or she can lift. Then, understand that strength gains are really dependent upon 3 factors: work, proper nutrition, and rest. In other words, the muscles have to first be taxed such that the athlete's body recognizes the need to build bigger and more efficient muscle cells. Next, the affected area needs a reasonable amount of time off and the right nutrients in order to build those new and improved cells. Here again, there might be varying opinions concerning the right amount of rest required between workouts, these usually ranging between 48 and 72 hours. In our mental training section, Sean Goodsell makes an awesome point, basically advising us that great skills are required before an athlete can play with real confidence. I'm paraphrasing here, of course, but Sean's saying that a player can't just will himself or herself to execute well. No, the skills have to be in place first. And with that, a player starts to believe. As Sean says, when an athlete masters skills and transfers their mastery to competitive arenas, then a deep level of belief forms. Cultivating this deep belief starts with believing that specific skills are the vital difference makers in competitive situations, and the application of those is what is responsible for success. Sean goes on to say that the belief that a person has in their ability to be effective and successful is completely tied to their level of skill development, and this is one of the vital factors that goes into helping young athletes shape the kind of mindset that helps them compete successfully, as well as enjoy doing it. Probably close to a quarter century ago, I stopped using the term power skating. Actually, I never taught such a thing. No, the skills required for our sport are a lot more complex than just being able to skate. So my clinics have always included a combination of hockey-specific skating drills, puck handling work, and even work on passing, receiving, shooting, and checking. Not that skating isn't the foundation for solid hockey play, but to play the game well, a hockey player's skating usually has to be done in conjunction with one or more other skills. Oh, and one other thing. To combine the two words, power and skating, suggests that power is the most important part of the movement. And while forceful thrusts surely are helpful to moving around the ice, I can tell you that the likes of agility, quick feet, and balance are just as important. My incredible stick handling course continues, with the most recent entries including tricks 13 through 15. What I want to comment on now, though, is the way I've laid the program out. I mean, I've given members the drills in small doses, usually 3 every 2 weeks. This so a player can gradually build from one puck handling ability to the next. The idea is for member players to truly master each move. Oh, and by the way, sometimes folks think that kind of stuff is only helpful to forwards. In my mind, though, great stick handling skills help defensemen execute their breakouts better, or they help those blue liners get themselves out of trouble in their own end. Moreover, I'm also going to recommend that my team NEHI goaltenders start taking that incredible stick handling course now. It just makes sense in today's kind of game. In response to a Canadian youth coach's question, I was reminded of my long-ago studies in the old USSR. I'll never forget a lunchtime break I spent outside the Spartak sports complex in Moscow. This with a couple of my study group buddies and a former Soviet player who is acting as our interpreter. For the moment I mentioned passing, Nikita's eyes lit up, and my views on that subject began to change forever. You see, in most instances, North American youth hockey parents and a lot of youth coaches view passing as purely a tactical ploy. Oh, for sure, it is an important part of our game's X's and O's. Advancing the puck up ice quickly or moving the puck to an open teammate. What lots of folks fail to really think about is the great skill required to make good passes, to get open properly, and to then receive the pass. That last segment brings me to the so-called Russian half sticks my kids used during passing drills last winter. They're just regular sticks, but with about half the blade missing out on the end, and smooth a little for safety. The small blade forces players to initiate their passes from the heel to the mid-blade. They forced my kids to concentrate a whole lot more, and they also seem to force my passers to be kinder in sending the puck to the half blades of a receiving partner. Now, I say, great skills will usually help a player do well at tryouts. On the other hand, hockey smarts are what get his or her name called in critical situations once a season gets underway. I went a lot deeper into this over at CoachChick.com, but I hope it makes sense to youth coaches, older players, and parents of young ones. Again, once you make the team, it's a combination of skills and smarts that gets you the ice time. Finally, these administrative notes. I'm still looking for 3 goaltenders, one each for my high school prep and my junior high school teams, plus one for my adult women's team. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to take the reins of a ladies' team next winter, and I'm really looking forward to sharing those experiences as well. Oh, and I could also use a couple of skaters for my junior high school team.
What's that singing?
Yeah, as I was readying this show, I had a couple of visitors.
Hi, Coach Chick. Thanks for all your help.
Mike G and his young guy Chris stopped in briefly, and it was a pleasure to see them and to show them around the new office, the lab, and my studio. They also saved me and the show, delivering enough diet soda to keep me wired a good couple of months. So thanks, guys, and this one is to you. Well, I apologize to CoachChick.com members near the end of May, letting them know how crazy it was moving 8 rooms into a totally different configuration. Actually, lots of stuff is still in boxes as I speak. Yet, I'm itching to get back into writing more, producing lots more videos, and sharing lots of new ideas. So, thanks for bearing with me, and I'll see everybody over on the inside at CoachChick.com.
Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets is brought to you by New England Hockey and CoachChick.com.